We've got a run-in. The reports were that Trista Crick was not going to be with us on this Tuesday because she got big things popping. But this is why she's my girl. She said, nah, man, I got to make some time for my boy on KC Day. So Trista Crick, she's right here on D-Lo and KC, man. I appreciate you, TK.
Yeah, you guys, his cameras were off. We got...
It's crazy.
Homie looking like Jalen Brunson. Here we got black screens. We got people in my Twitter mentions being like, "Don't do it on Kenny's birthday."
Look at people looking out. And TK, she responds to the people, man. The people need a shout out, man. I'm actually really glad you're here because I've been building up towards this for the last 24 hours because I need somebody that knows the ins and outs of this situation, Pauls, to break this thing down. And I was out of town over the weekend. I was out in Charlotte. And
Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I like Charlotte. I had never been there before. It was good times. But I, from a distance, because it was a family reunion, there was a lot going on. I was the only parent there with the two kids because the wife stayed home. So the two-year-old was running crazy. I couldn't really dive into some stuff. But I did see the WNBA All-Star game with the shirts, pay us what you owe us. And I was like, okay, pay them. Like, I know the gist of what's going on with the labor negotiations. They should be getting paid more. But when I get home, I'm going to really dive into what's going on. So come to find out, and I don't know, maybe it was just the circles I was around and the people I was talking. There was like a lot of people that were like, yo, these girls are crazy. What are they talking about? Pay us? They don't make no money. They're losing money for the last X amount of years. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, there's so many things wrong with what you guys are saying. But then I remember the conversation that we had a couple months ago. And I remember you saying it. I remember looking for it before and after about, like, there's no real definitive books about the WNBA. So this whole, we're just losing money is something that always kind of comes up that has never really been proven. And you called cap on the whole we're losing money thing months ago. And I just kind of wanted you to revisit that and explain like why you're not necessarily buying all that.
Well, first and foremost, what I will say is I don't understand why everybody, you know, fans, normal people, why we side with the owners instead of the people on the ground. Like, yeah. Why do we want to align with billionaires? I don't get that. I really don't. I don't know why we want Caitlin Clark to make less money than like a teacher in New York City. I don't know why we feel that that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Regardless of what the economic situation is, there is no league without the talent. There's plenty of, let's just go off of the incorrect assumption that the league is losing money. Uber, Lyft, losing money until last year. How much is the CEO making? $73 million. Is that fair? Are we aligned? Is anybody saying like, hey, you should make $75,000 if you work for a company that's not profitable? Profitability is a very sneaky business because you can do a lot of things that make you seem not profitable for tax reasons, to pay your labor less, because you're in growth mode and you're reinvesting those pieces of your revenue back into the company. There's a lot of little funny money stuff that changes what profitability means, right? Secondarily, let's talk about, so I don't think anybody should be like rooting for Joe Tsai.
WNBA. Have you seen, real quick, because I want to get to that next point, but have you seen some of the same things that I've seen where people have been like, yo, they're tripping, they don't deserve it? And I was kind of blown away by that. I was like, you guys for real? This how you really feel? That's crazy.
It's really like giving, I'm going to say something controversial. It's giving like Civil War whites in the South who don't have slaves, but kind of just like want to have them, so they're like totally down. You know what I mean? Like, why are we aspiring to be owners of a WNBA franchise so that we can just like pay our labor nothing?
Right.
Like, why are all these people why are there so many people jumping to the side of those who are improperly paying? Why are we saying, oh well, these elite athletes shouldn't get paid X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. By the way, Dana White is considered one of the greatest scumbags in terms of like sports ownership and what he pays his fighters. And he's paying them double the percentage that these WNBA players are getting paid. The minuscule amount of revenue share that these players are getting paid in the WNBA is freaking, I almost cussed on the stream, is insane. And it's not even the whole package that they get pieces of. Like patches on the jerseys don't go into the bucket.
Right.
This, you have to sell out this amount of games before ticket sales go into the bucket. Right. It's a lot of like, if this, then only that. And they only get 9% of the smaller Amazing. Bucket. The NBA, the NFL, all of these leagues, all these men's leagues, they get 50-50. And the NBA for 30, 40 years wasn't making money. They were not, quote unquote, profitable. And they were still giving 50% of the revenue to men. And nobody was saying, hey, let's bring in the scabs. We don't need to see, you know, so-and-so play basketball for this amount of money. Like, people were getting paid $750,000 in 1979 in the men's game. And they weren't profitable. The women's game is making 10% of that in 2025. Okay, so it's just absolutely banana time.
Yeah.
Also, let's talk about the finances of it for real, for real. Mm-hmm. So an expansion fee to have an NBA or WNBA expansion team, WNBA expansion team is $250 million. If it was such a losing business, why are there people running around the block to get in?
Right.
What if it's such a bad business, then why am I having to pay cash up front 250 M's tomorrow to get into the Toronto franchise, to the Blazers, or to the Portland franchise, to the Philly franchise, to the Cleveland franchise? There are 14 groups lined around the block to get any one of those franchises, and they were happy to do it.
They're turning people away.
They are turning people away. Joe Tsai, I found out this during Summer League. This is going to be some breaking news. I found out Joe Tsai has been said to have bought the New York Liberty for $14 million. That's what's been reported. I heard it two separate times from two different people in two different cities that Joe Tsai actually bought the New York Liberty from James Dolan for $1. And it is now currently worth upwards of $400 million.
Wow.
And when you sell a franchise or there's an expansion franchise, how much of that goes to the players?
None.
Zero. None of that goes to the players. So I don't care how unprofitable or profitable you are. When you turn around and sell that franchise, you're making bread. If there's a new expansion franchise, which keeps coming and keeps coming and it's going to keep coming, that money goes to all of the owners. All the money that the NBA has been, quote unquote, subsidizing the women's league, which is like, $500,000 here. One. It's not like they've been paying a lot of bread to quote unquote subsidize the women's game. A few expansion franchises, Toronto, Portland, Golden State, you've gotten all your money back for all the years you've been quote unquote subsidizing and more. And then when you sell your team, you're probably way up from that as well. You're talking about owners who bought in at like $2 million and now it's worth $400 million. I don't want to hear you crying about paying these women what they deserve. And they don't have health care. They don't have pensions. They don't have child care. There's a lot of stuff that they're just fighting for in addition to at least some semblance of fairness and revenue share. The fact, though, that people want, they really don't know at all what they're talking about.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And then on top of that, you've got what always happens. I think people need to start investigating and researching and doing their homework on how labor relations go. Here's how it goes. Labor gets treated as unfairly as they are, like as they allow, right? It's what we've seen in the coal mines, what we've seen in every industry until there's a union that comes in. They say, hey, you're treating us unfairly. We want something to be done about it. And then there's a fight. And then the company that is treating their labor unfairly does everything under the sun to continue to treat their labor as unfairly as humanly possible, because that's the way that they're the most profitable. And that's capitalism at its core. Right. So what are the buttons that these companies usually choose to push in labor negotiations in a time where there's a new CBA, collective bargaining agreement? And
I don't really have it. I ain't really got it.
We don't have money, though. Like, we're broke. We're just barely hanging on by a thread. We really can't. We wish we could pay you, but we can't pay you. And then they start like saying little slick things in the media, like, yeah, WNBA's been losing money for like forever. You know, it's 40 million last year that we lost, and 50 million we lost 5 years ago each year as well. And it's like, well, we know there's a huge boom in Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
But you only lost 10 million less? So what? Like the math isn't even close to math then, even if you were losing. Listen, they're not slick. And we don't even have anybody opening up the books to say, hey, this is what it looks like. Right. Remember in Major League Baseball, we didn't know what time it was until Atlanta was a publicly traded organization and they had to open up their books. And we were like, oh, snap. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're making hella bread.
Yeah.
So I just am quite confused by all these people who, one, haven't researched a thing, are willing to take the NBA's word for it because they sent that number to Business Insider and then Business Insider ran with it and then Bleacher Report ran. It's all the same number from the same one quote from the same BS thing. Like, what are we doing?
And I don't even know. I'll look again because I remember I was having this conversation when we talked about it originally a couple months. It's not, I could be wrong, but I don't even know if it's a quote from the NBA. It is just something that just kind of gets floated out there. Like, reportedly, they lost $50 million a year. Nobody's ever said it. Nobody's ever fact-checked it. I saw the other day Bobby Marks was talking about with the NBA, they get an email or, you know, a pamphlet or something at the start of every year that says, this is the money that's come in for the league. This is basketball-related income. This is where it goes. This is where everything is. Books are damn near wide open in that situation. He's like, there's nothing for the WNBA. Literally nothing. So just once again, I don't even know who's saying that. I don't know where it originated that they're losing $40 million a year.
Someone from the league is calling Business Insider and be like, hey, I just want to let you know the league's not profitable. So that now when Nafisa Collier is like, hey, you guys should pay us 50% of revenues, they're like, we've been losing $40 million every single year. Now that we're starting to finally be up, we got to have more years that are up before we start to pay you. And it's like, nah, dog, nah, that, we're not doing that.
It's so crazy. And there's two things there. Number one, like you said, I think you might have heard it was – I hadn't heard what they're asking for, so I don't know. 50%
is whatever. I don't know what the number is in terms of – I asked Nafisa, like, hey, do you guys have a minimum number for revenue share? And she said, we do, but I'm not going to share that with you because that obviously gives all of our leverage away.
Mm. But I know for a fact it cannot be 9%. That is crazy.
Should not be 20% either because that's UFC stuff.
No, to me, it should. That's the bar. That 18%. That's UFC. That's the bar. Like, we shouldn't go any lower than that. And we should probably be around. I would just say like,
if you
I'd say
at,
40, but man, I don't know if that's asking too much. Anywhere 35
if you look
to 40.
At revenue brought in per WNBA team as a percentage of total franchise value, it is a higher percent than revenue to franchise value in the NBA.
It's crazy. And then you talk about the expansion. $250 million for each franchise that's coming in. That's the fee. I think in the last 3 years.
$750 million, Kenny, that's come in the last 12 months divided by 12.
Well, we'll check it. Because I'm going even further. Isn't it six teams over the course of like 5 or 6 years?
Yes.
We're looking
yes.
at $1.5 billion that they don't have to share with nobody. Like, that's what you're pocketing. And that's before
yes.
we talk about your
that's
$4 billion.
You sell your own team. That's just net inflow.
We didn't even talk about the TV deal. The TV deal is what, $3, $4 billion?
I think it's 2.1. But again, that's bad business. That was like, I can't hold you and be like, hey, we should get paid less because you're not handling your business correctly. We're just hooping.
Right.
And you need to figure out a way to pay us. That's why they get paid off of revenue instead of profitability. Mm-hmm. You figure everything else out.
Yeah, that's your job.
That's your job. Our job is to hoop.
Yeah. But I was just baffled once I started to dive into this and hear different people about, like you said, the amount of people who literally have no idea what they're talking about, like no clue. And I'm not even saying like I'm not a self-deprecating person. I'm not going to be like, I'm an idiot. No, I'm intelligent, but I didn't go to school for this. I don't see the books. I don't know everything, but it's common sense. It's common sense that, yeah, maybe you guys should fall off, you know, the whole wagon of they're losing $50 million a year, or the fact that they're asking for more money has nothing to do with the fact that they, quote unquote, weren't profitable for 20 years, 30 years. We're talking about what they just did to become profitable. Like, yep. That these women did that. They're the ones who did that. And you're going to be making more money moving forward. So I absolutely. And I'll say this last thing, too. Sorry about you, Lizzie.
No, you're good.
I'll say this. When you talk about negotiating, when you talk about trying to get the most out of a CBA and get the most out of a labor deal, absolutely. This is the time to be asking for everything, because number one, you've done the work as the players to expand this league and make this league what it's starting to become. Number two, WNBA, because of your expansion, you've promised these investors that there's going to be a product. You're on the hook,
yep,
to provide them a product.
It's like, yo, we don't have a team. We just paid $250 million. We don't have a team.
Exactly.
Are you serious? We got scabs. Anyway, also real quick before I go.
Yeah.
The fact that they're trying to stop them from playing overseas during the off season and unrival when they're making literally $225,000 to $250,000 of average salary in that 8 weeks of time, baby, on 3-on-3, you got me all the way effed up. You got me. I'll just sit this one. I'll just play on Rival. We'll just have multiple on Rival leagues, and we'll see what time it is.
That's it. I know you got to go, man. I'm going to let you get ready for what you got to do. I appreciate you, TK.